Welcome to the Rockstar Achievers Podcast. Are you ready to be a rock star? Achieve incredible success in your life, business, and career? Learn the inside scoop on how these rockstar achievers have jumped over hurdles, plowed through roadblocks, scaled their dreams to great heights, and made powerful changes within their communities. And here's your Rockstar Achievers host, Catherine M. White, the Rockstar Maker and founder of Accelerated Results 365.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Rockstar Achievers. I'm excited to introduce to you our guest today, who is Wayne Purser. Wayne is a managing broker with Coldwell Banker Bain, author, and very active community member. He entered the real estate industry in 2001 and soon after 9/11 hit, which turned out to be a hot time to begin his career as he found immediate success. However, things changed when the 2008 recession hit and the real estate market, as most of you know, took a huge nosedive. While many others left the industry, Wayne persevered, and today he continues to bring joy to people's lives through home ownership. While he continues to enjoy his work as a broker, he is most passionate about seeking opportunities to make a difference and change lives, which he does through writing and volunteering at multiple nonprofits. Wayne, welcome to the show. We're really glad to have you here today.
Thank you, Catherine. I look forward to sharing a little bit about my life with you and your audience.
Absolutely. We are looking forward to hearing about it. I know that you've got a lot to share, and I would like to start off. Let's just talk a little bit about your current career and how did you get into this line of work? Because it's my understanding this is very different than what you originally started out with.
Well, with real estate, in 2001, I have a construction degree in technology, so I know how homes are built. I went down the path of working in the construction industry of floor covering before real estate, and then my brother, who seemed to know my resume better than I did, said, Wayne, get into real estate. You do very well because you have the knowledge and you've been working with customer service in the floor covering industry for 17 years. So it made a really good match of working with relationships with what real estate is. It's sales and relationships, as you well know, with your business yourself.
Mm-hmm. So not, I guess, in a sense, not all that different because you found a nice tie in how what you were doing related, or rather your brother, excuse me, found a nice tie. They related into the real estate industry, but it wasn't an industry that you were considering yourself.
No, I wasn't. Not the real estate industry, but the floor covering. And I did retail sales, retail management in the floor covering industry, labor dispatching, which is basically dealing with communication with a buyer of a product and the installers and the salesperson. Being a liaison and learning how to deal with conflicts, learning how to make both sides feel like a win-win scenario. And then to get into real estate it's connecting with people. A major purchase people are going to buy, or a change in their life, and they have to sell a home to move on to their next adventure.
Mm-hmm. And do you find that there tends to be a lot of conflict in that process?
Yes, because people have never purchased a home. Let's just say a first-time home buyer has never purchased before, and so it's much easier just to rent. Mm-hmm. It's scary to be locked into a mortgage for 30 years. But when I look at first-time home buyers, I go, okay, if you don't want a mortgage for 30 years, that's scary for you. And people tend to move between 7 and 13 years on average. How many years are you going to pay for rent? And when people think about it, they go, well, I'm going to pay for rent for the next 40 years. So what would you rather have, a 30-year mortgage that's going to give you money in the bank because of equity over time, and the property will appreciate every month you pay off your mortgage, so you become more financially independent as you get older, and you can move from your starter home to the next home to the next home, and then in your life you downsize and come back to a smaller home after the family's grown up and moved on.
Mm-hmm. And that having that equity, that home that you can sell and downsize from, makes a huge difference. And being, when you get to that point in your life, right, that your family's moving out, growing up and moving out, for right. a lot of people, that, I mean, not just emotionally, can be just an emotional experience, right? And then if you're not right. properly prepared financially to make those changes, on top of that emotional experience, that's a tough thing to deal with.
Right. The emotional part, if you've been in your home 20, 30 years and your children grew up here, went to grade school, junior high school, into college, and you want to leave the rooms there for in case the children come back and come back during their college days. And then what if someone can't make it out there in the real world and we can help them out? We have an extra bedroom. And then it comes to the point of view of it's, the house is too overwhelming for the couple as they get into the retirement years.
Mm-hmm.
They can't keep up with everything, so it's emotional to let go because of all the memories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as you know, I'm a father myself, and you're a mother, and you understand the emotions that you go through with your children, and we all go through that.
Right. Yes, and then speaking of emotions, I would love to hear your story about the recession. Now, I do occasionally run across people who survived the recession in the real estate industry, but so many people ended up leaving during that time. And it and that shows such strength and courage for somebody to be able to make it through such a devastating time when, I mean, just the financial challenges that you must have faced. How did you do it, Wayne?
Well, this is all I've done. It's real estate since 2001. So during the dark time, it was very difficult. And people had to make so many financial decisions. What do they do? How do they do it? What guidance I could give them? What experience I have gone through being a homeowner at that time? And having my pay cuts or my income cut by 70%. There was a lot of challenges that I had to go through at that time, knowing that I wanted to stay in this career because if I got out of it, it would be hard to reboot and restart and with following it through. So I just persevered through it. Just showing up every day, doing what I needed to do in real estate, how to help people in their lives of doing short sales, or did people walk away from home? I had to make some financial decision and choices myself. I was luckily able to keep my house and then move several years after the recession came out. But, yeah, we all had to make decisions and choices. So I learned from that what I can do to benefit myself in the future.
Mm-hmm. And how do you feel that experience has impacted your life and where you're at right now?
Well, just remembering that everybody has their own story. Everybody was different, and that's what I like about real estate. If, yes, you have the transaction, the paperwork are all the standard paperwork. It's the boilerplate. But everybody's name is different. Everybody's story is different. How they're going to get a loan. How much cash are they paying? What are they buying a home for? Is it a single person? Is it a young couple just starting out? Is it a family of three or four? Is it a divorce situation? Is it an estate situation? So every transaction that I go through is a different situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so where I'm at today, you know, still being in real estate, I enjoy helping people, but today it's helped me with being better to understand people's stories and situations and where they're at this moment in time.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of stories, what you shared or what we've talked about so far regarding your real estate experience is only a small piece of your story. Tell us a little bit more about your story. And I know you've now taken this path of sharing many different parts of your story with others.
Right. And so if I fast forward everything to like 2014, 2015, I was a salesperson of the year in my real estate company, the office I was in, but it was, everything was changing. The internet was changing. It was, first question people would ask me is, well, what do you charge? What is your commission to sell my house? And the personal side of real estate is changing because of the information people get on the internet. So I started just following like in this dark spiral downward of client loyalty, not having it. People weren't being as loyal as they had in the past because of what was happening on the internet. Feeling like the changes in the world with Uber, Airbnb, things become commoditized, where the real estate industry is gone for the real estate agent. And so back in August of 2017, I was on Facebook, and I saw a Facebook ad and it said, how to defeat mega agents, and I clicked on it and opened up a whole new world for me on how to communicate with people today, and that is through the pen. How to put your thoughts on paper, how to write and craft stories for your clientele to make them fall in love with you and be loyal to you, to where you can help them today and in the future. And so I've learned how to write. Becoming a writer was something I never expected. It was just something that happened with this group I belong to, and has opened up many different avenues for me here recently, in the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm. And you said it's something you never expected. There, tell us a little bit more about that. Why was that not even something that you thought about?
So I go back all the way to grade school. My biggest fear in life is writing. I had issues in grade school. My younger brother would laugh at me each month because I got something in the mail that they didn't get. And it was a book called Hooked on Phonics.
I remember those. Yes.
and I had to spend extra time with my mom because I still today, I don't hear the whole word. Or I hear a word, but I don't know how to spell it. I just don't get the phonics part of the S-H, C-H, and other words. And so I just paralyze. It's a disability for me. And I guess I would say in grade school, junior high and high school, I wasn't a class clown. But I'm going to say, yes, I was a disturbing element in class. Because if the teacher ever called on me something to go right up on the board in front of 30 other students, that was never going to happen. And so I made sure that I was enough of a disturbance that I would never be called upon from the teacher.
Brilliant, Wayne.
And so that then turned into how I would banter with people in life.
Mm-hmm.
And where... what it came down to is what I have learned the last couple of years is that was a mask for my insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
My insecurity of not knowing how to write. And so what I have learned through this group is that there's three ways to do a story. One is you got to think of it. You got to be able to think of the story. Two is you got to be able to speak it. My challenge now is number three. How do I put it on paper? How do I write it? Because I would start writing, and then I would come to a word I wouldn't know how to spell. At that moment, I had two choices. Do I choose to look at the dictionary to see how it's spelled and then I forget what I was thinking about? Or do I just keep writing and then come back to that word and go, what word is that? So it's been a learning experience for me. And I have done real estate events, some nonprofit community events where writing needed to be done. I needed to write content. Well, those things never went very far because I didn't know how to do it. I would ask people to help out. And it never happened. So all these things would fall to the wayside maybe once or twice. We would do an annual event and then just fall to the wayside because my lack of training and knowledge to write content just stopped it in its tracks. So today, I've actually been writing. It's 2 years I've been writing. Pretty much writing on a daily basis. I'm also reading. I've been reading every day for 25, 30 minutes a day, and numerous books, which is helping me. And so my whole life, my whole routine, the way I look at things, it's totally changed since I picked up the pen and started writing.
Mm-hmm. And have you found that writing now has become easier for you, or is it still a challenge?
Well, writing, it's still a challenge. I still bounce into what I would call my lesser self or low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. Where is the confidence? And so no different than a baby getting up and walking. It's just a natural thing a baby will do. They'll get up. They'll fall down. They'll cry. But they keep getting up and they keep moving every day. It becomes easier and easier for them. And that's what I found with writing. Easier and easier for me to write, and I've learned from it. I look back at the book I've written. It's stories from my original story. Mm-hmm. They're lightly edited, but they are the original way that I wrote. And I'm using this original book as a document of my past, where I started to where I'm going to be today. That's part of my whole journey here is who am I being today? But as I continue to write, I'm writing who I want Wayne to become in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been every day I have purpose getting up because I want to do this or I want to achieve this. But how do I achieve that? Well, I've got to have a plan of attack and be able to do my task each day to get to where I want to get to. In the past, I didn't have that because it would always come back to how do I write that.
Mm-hmm.
So what has definitely helped me, coming from where I was in grade school and through my grades, and suggestions of two things. One was do dictation software. So I put the microphone on and I talk the story. I've already thought about a story that I'm going to write. I start talking to the story into the dictation. When I get that done, then I take it into an app called Grammarly, and Grammarly does all the editing for me. It helps me edit to where I have a much stronger, better story,
mm-hmm.
and which has helped elevate my level of stories, but it's also elevated my confidence in myself in writing.
Mm-hmm. And what's amazing about that is these technologies that you are using, those are things that somebody before you or someone else has persevered and had the courage to create and now the impact that it makes on your life. And as you're doing this, what kind of impact are you hoping to make through your writing?
That's a great question. I don't know where this adventure is going to lead me, but my impact is why I create a movement of all movements to help people come out of the dark side from the darkness that I came from. And as you just mentioned, those apps that have helped me, other people needed help like that. And so I'm just talking about how I wrote a book. I wrote a book on my stories. I have written over 230 30 stories on Facebook in less than 2 years, anywhere between 300 to 500 words per story, putting it out there in front of an audience of people to be judged or not judged, to be encouraged through those all those stories. I've only had one person that was negative. But our biggest fear is we're going to be talked down. People are going to say bad things about us. But acknowledging that I was a new writer and this is something new for me, and how my struggles and how I'm going through life and what I have learned. We all humans are no different than each other. We all root for the underdog. We want people to be successful. So we will push for that. We will encourage people. And that is what I have found in Facebook. Face-to-face communications with people. And the most powerful thing that I have encountered by writing my personal stories on Facebook is people have come up to me and shared things to me that I never realized they would share. They're just acquaintances. They're not close friends. Mm-hmm. But because they've read things on Facebook and read my stories, they feel they know me. And so therefore, if they're comfortable around me, meeting me for the first or second time, and just blurt out how they're feeling and how my story impacted them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's huge. When by you having the courage to open up and share your story and your challenges, what a difference that makes for other people to be able to open up their own stories.
Correct.
And, right. So, yep. So you're making an impact through your writing.
Yes. It's showing evidence of it, but I write my stories on Facebook to give myself clarity.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's a healing therapy. Did I start out to write a book? No, that was not what I was intending to do. It's just that how do I write, and how do I write compelling stories to my clients or future clients to let them know who I am, what I'm going through in life, and how it impacts me, and how they can learn to count on me because I'm being vulnerable. I'm sharing stories and how I've taken on challenges, and whether I lose, and what do I learn from it, or how do I move forward with what I've learned, parlay it to the next challenge that I'm going to run into. Because as you well know, we all have obstacles, and they're always going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
How do we bump into them, whatever shape or size they are? We're going to need to address that. That's what I have done here with my writing. It's beyond my wildest dreams. So, how do I continue the story, and how do I impact people out there? We're trying to figure out how am I really going to do that, but I know right now what I'm doing has impacted people, so I'm going to continue to do that because I'm enjoying it. Writing is getting easier for me.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And then one more part of your story that I would like to briefly touch on before we finish here is your community involvement. You're very active in your community. Share with us a little bit about what you do there and the importance of that in your life.
Being a business person, I know that, and I've owned a couple condominiums in my life, and I know that people who are on board of directors, I'm involved in two nonprofits in the city of Edmonds, and they're run by people who are involved in the organization, and they make decisions based upon, based upon what they think would be in the best interest, and not looking at it from a business aspect. And I'm able to bring in part of, this is how business is run, and this is how we want to be productive and profitable and make it run much easier, and take out the personal, how can I say, the personal passion, and where the nonprofits are actually a business, and how to allow those people to have passion, run with their passion inside the organization, but to run it as a business. And been very successful with the two nonprofits I'm working with now on the board of directors. And they see the value there of me being open and honest. I'm able to communicate better with people. I've actually been asked to give several speeches with these nonprofits and to write my own script. Catherine, I was asked to write a 300-word presentation. And I'm going, oh my gosh. And they looked at me and said, storyteller, you can do it. And so it was like, wow, well, I went and did it. And the presentation was great. And so building confidence, and again, is where I was out of the darkness of I couldn't do something like this to where now I can. And how do I parlay that and help other people come out of the dark? And this here, just you interviewing me today, is evidence of what I have done, where I'm going, and how I can help impact people. And hopefully this podcast, someone will say, I'm just like him.
Mm-hmm.
I like what Wayne has to say. And if Wayne can do it, why can't I?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And that is one of the reasons that I love to do these podcasts. Is so that people like you can touch somebody's life where they are saying, if he can do it, so can I. So love it. Love it. Wayne, in closing, do you have any final words that you would like to share? Some advice, some tips, well, inspiration?
Yeah, what I have learned, I've always looked at, okay, lean into your fears. My mom, love her dearly. She's been gone for many years. But the biggest thing is, you know, your actions speak louder than words. So a lot of times we don't do actions because we're fearful. And what I have learned over the last couple of years is mistakes is what you learn in life. It's okay to go and make mistakes. I am now understanding that I am a scientist or a researcher. And scientists and researchers will go off and do things. They know they're going to make a mistake one way or the other because they're trying to get from point A to point B. And so as they don't hit where they're heading to, they're going to zig and zag back and forth like we do in life. And how do we just keep moving forward to fear, to learn as we go, as we zigzag through life? And that's it. Just go do what's fearful of you, which means you're going to learn something. Mm-hmm. One way or the other, you're going to learn something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is a great message. And I would like to share, if you're okay with it, I know you've been very open with me, and I believe you share this pretty openly on Facebook. But if you don't mind letting us know your age, Wayne...
Well, when this started, I was going, okay, I'm 60. Why would a 60-year-old want to change? So now that I'm 62 and I want to make significant changes in my life, as we live longer, I'm always wondering what I would do in retirement. But I don't think retirement's in my future because I have so much I want to get accomplished. I want to make an impact. And sitting on a couch, watching TV, playing golf 2 to 3 times a week doesn't sound exciting to me because I want the interaction with people. And I want to be able to live life every day, be alive, and enjoy it and empower other people and get them to empower their lives and just impact the world. Realize that they have a voice, they have a story.
Mm-hmm.
We need to hear it also.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that and being open. And I wanted to make sure that we got that in there because like you had said, at the age of 60, you were questioning, why would I want to change? And a lot of people, when they get to that point in their life, so many have that same thought, why? I'm too old to change. And you are a great example of you're never too old to change. It's never too late. And you have a purpose in your life, no matter what age you are. And you have opportunities. You can continue to live that purpose. So thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you so much for sharing your stories and for living a life of purpose.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Rockstar Achievers Podcast. If you're ready to reach incredible levels of success in your life, business, and career, start your journey now at www.acceleratedresults365.com or email Catherine at acceleratedresults365.com.